All right. As we mentioned in our introduction, we're pleased to reconnect with our good friend, Sharon Clozius. She's president and CEO of the Valley Community Foundation. And as you may have heard from reminders we'd been running on our program and elsewhere, there's this great new program that we're going to be talking about this morning, 25 for the next 25. And we'll get into the conversation about that right after we remind you that on March 10th, our friends at the Connecticut AgeWell Collaborative are co-hosting the very first East Coast screening of a film called No Place to Grow Old in partnership with the Housing Collective. This award-winning documentary captures the growing crisis that's unfolding across America's older adults aging into homelessness. The screening will be followed by a facilitated opportunity for self-reflection and dialogue about the film, panelists offering a Connecticut-based perspective on older adults aging into homelessness, and the sharing of strategies for purposeful action. Light refreshments will be available starting at 5:30. The film is at 6, and the post-film program is at 7. You can learn more about this and all of the programs of our friends at the AgeWell Collaborative by visiting ctagewellcollaborative.org. Sharon, this is an issue that you're no stranger to there, not just homelessness, but you and I have talked about the increasing issues with homelessness kind of on the two bookends with the young people, especially the members of the LGBTQ plus population and communities, and this horrific issue facing veterans and aging people. This is an acute issue on your radar, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is, John. Thank you for having me this morning. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you and to talk to your audience. You're absolutely right. We hear over and over again about the housing crisis, but it's when you actually do have it in your family where your parent or grandparent cannot afford to stay in their house, but they can't afford to leave their house, and what to do about that, and how do we accommodate and find solutions for that, because it is an absolute crisis. I mean, here we are in one of the wealthiest areas in the country, and we can't figure out how to house our seniors. Mm-hmm. And, our seniors that have the wealth backup and have had their retirement accounts and everything else, that's not who we're talking about. We're talking about, people who are moving into their 80s, 90s, and those savings have dwindled down.
Yeah. Folks who have helped build and sustain our society and our communities for decades.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, certainly this isn't the only issue on your radar at the Valley Community Foundation. Last time we talked, was about the annual report that was issued regarding, the health and wellness and quality of life in the Valley. As we're moving now into and through the second month of the new year, what other major issues are you hoping to address through the support and philanthropy of the greater Naugatuck Valley community?
Well, John, I'm getting really excited about the work that we're moving into regarding what we're calling valleyness, basically. Valleyness is that attitude that's in the valley, of taking care of one another, being there for one another, being involved. We have so many new people moving into the valley, and some of our older generations moving, or passing away and moving out of the valley. And we want to make sure that people understand that the valley is a region. It's not just Shelton, Seymour, Oxford, Derby, Ansonia. It is a region, and to be proud of that region because it has a lot of rich, rich history. And with that, we see people, we want to encourage people getting involved and being part of their community, being engaged in their community. We see this a lot. We've always had very strong, firefighters and ambulance
volunteers, sure.
Yeah, all of it. And they are seeing that, they're not getting the new recruits coming in. So we want to be supportive of their work and, you know, maybe support a training program that goes into the high schools. That's what they used to do.
Sure.
Is they had those in the high schools. And so I'm getting very excited about the different opportunities to find engagement for our youth as well as our adults who want to get involved and engaged.
Sure. And if where your office sits, you know, as the crow flies, you're probably about a mile away from one of the premier trade high schools in the state.
That's right.
And they're doing incredible work down there in Derby.
Yeah, they really, really are. I mean, I think that's what's really interesting is to watch how things are evolving. I mean, they are, our leaders are taking into consideration AI and are guiding our young people on different ways of getting involved and what they can be looking at for their careers and opportunities.
Yeah.
So it's really wonderful in that way. You know, we just have so many different parts of wanting people to be involved and engaged. So I think you've talked in the past to Team and their Project Manna,
sure,
where they bring in all the food for Bizzuto's and, you know, have that be delivered and then out to all of our food pantries and mm-hmm. food banks. I mean, it's just wonderful to see those volunteers coming in and doing that kind of work and making sure that we're taking care of each other.
Yeah. Well, we are convening around and looking into the not-too-distant future at the 25th anniversary of your foundation in 2029. And it has spawned a great opportunity for you and your team and your board to come up with a great program that is going to help better address the needs of a lot of the causes and nonprofits and organizations that help support folks in the Valley who need it and provide opportunities for folks in the Valley to do more good. And that is the 25 for the Next 25 campaign. Let's hear more about that.
Yeah, it's kind of a strange campaign. I've had a fun time trying to explain this sometimes even to my board members, because it is not about raising cash. It's not about having the thermometer and how much money are we going to raise and, you know, trying to get to that $25 million mark or something. And what we're doing, is we're actually talking to the people in the Valley about leaving a legacy and about leaving something to our foundation, because our foundation is in perpetuity. It is here.
Yeah.
And to be able to make a planned gift that will assist the community for years and decades and generations to come.
Yeah, yeah. It's not about a journey or a program to arrive at a finite pot of money.
Right.
It really is an initiative that is going to help sustain the entire Valley region for generations.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like you were saying, one of the things that when we talk about doing planned giving instead of asking for cash, it's because the people here in the Valley, one, they're prudent, but the other is that they do live a very long life, most of them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so they're hesitant on giving some of their assets away when they're, you know, so young. So they, you know, they understand that, okay, how about a planned gift? So when you no longer need it, you know, think of your nonprofits and the work that goes on in the Valley as another one of your family members. You know, give back to those who have given back to you in the past. We see a lot of that people understand that they were given a hands up at different times, and they would like to be able to do that for others moving into the Valley or coming into the Valley. But they, you know, also know that they need to take care of themselves first. So this way they can do that with not wondering whether they're going to be needing it or not. You know, I've always shared with them that, you know, you may list the community foundation on the beneficiary of your IRA, but you can also change that. You can also spend down that IRA. That is not, you know, it's not irrevocable. It is revocable in that sense.
Yeah.
You know, and that's usually the easiest thing to do is list the organization as a beneficiary. And, you know, some people, they work so closely with some of our other nonprofits, and, you know, we can take care of that here at the Community Foundation as well, because sometimes they're hesitant because they don't know if the nonprofit's going to be there or not be there. But they can come to the Community Foundation and tell us what they're, you know, what do they really want to take care of? Do they want to take care of the seniors, the elderly, the children, the, you know, early childhood issues?
Sure.
And take care of all those things, and we can do that through this drive, through the discretionary dollars.
Well, that brings us to introducing the key partner here, and that is the Gates Society. Tell us what the Gates Society is and the role that they that it will play in the 25 for the Next 25 initiative.
Well, I think the Gates Society is named after two brothers that lived in Derby. They passed away in the 1950s. But they left a trust to benefit Derby and vicinity, in which is classified as our five towns. Now, at the time, in the 50s, the Valley Community Foundation wasn't here. So it was managed and overseen by the Community Foundation for Greater New Haven. Now, we have an affiliation agreement with that foundation, and they actually give us a sizable grant from that Gates Fund out here so that we can do our grant making and we can be present here in the Valley. And so we've been adding people who have also decided to leave, you know, something to the community to join our Gates Society, that group of people that are giving back to the Valley sometime, you know, through a planned gift, when they no longer need their assets. So that's the Gates Society, but you know what I look at it as? I actually look at it as our legacy wall of people of who's who in the Valley, because they are, more and more, we're getting names that have been generational here in the Valley. And that's what we want to do. We want to capture the Valley names that have that history in the Valley, just like the Gates brothers did. And so I joke around about having a big family tree in my office, but I think it would just be so big because there are some families that have been here for five generations. And, you know, I would love to name them, but I know I would be leaving people off if I do that too. So, but it becomes a legacy. It becomes a legacy. What do you want your family to be standing for?
And how do folks become affiliated with the Gates Society?
Well, they just let us know that they have left something in their plan, that upon their death or however they want to do it, because it can be, we can also do it as they're living, you know, that they've committed to doing something in their estate plan, and that's it. That's all there is to it. You know, we don't want to push people and say, hey, I need proof of this or need proof of that. We do take people at their word that they, you know, really do want to give back to the Valley. Now, sometimes people, I would say actually a number of times, people will set up what I call a testamentary fund. They come into the office or I talk to them on the phone and they tell me what they want this gift to do when we receive it. They want it to go to the first responders fund to help the firefighters and first responders. They'll tell us we want to support the leadership in the Valley or whatever they want to do. And we set that up so that we have it on file. And then we give them a copy to keep with their plans that they have. And, you know, we give them all the information that they should need. But a lot of times they will do that first just so that we know what they'd like to do with their gift. Sometimes they want to add it to an existing fund, and sometimes they want to establish their family fund.
So in the last few minutes that we have with you for now, Sharon, just remind us, who's the audience for the next 25 campaign? It's certainly not just, millionaires or wealthy folks.
Oh, absolutely not. I mean, I love millionaires and everybody, but I want to make sure that the whole Valley knows that anybody in the Valley who loves the Valley is somebody that can join the Gates Society by making a commitment in their estate plan that they want to leave a gift to the community foundation to benefit the Valley. So it could be $1,000, $5,000, $25,000, whatever they would want to do. That's pretty much all that it takes. It's making that commitment. We're building. Part of our mission is to build philanthropy in the Valley. And that's why we do, like the you've worked with us doing the Valley Gives Back.
Sure.
And that promotion of, hey, give back. You know, it doesn't have to be right now, but at some point in time, give back to the Valley. It's given you so much.
Great. Then we will say farewell with your reminder to anyone listening that might want to learn more or get involved. Where do they go for that?
Well, then go to our website, thevalleyfoundation.org, or they can give us a call. I'd love to talk to them, which is 203-751-9162.
And you will get to hear the voice that you're all hearing this morning. Sharon Clausius, President and CEO of the Valley Community Foundation, launching the 25 for the Next 25 long-term legacy-focused initiative designed to strengthen the permanent endowment of the Valley Community Foundation, not for a year, not for a decade, but for generations to come. Celebrate your Valley-ness by being part of the 25 for the Next 25 campaign and a member of the Gates Society. That's our message and a plea for today. Sharon, always great to speak with you, and I will be circling back to talk again soon. Thank you so much.